Hello and welcome to the May edition of the Pickaxe Podcast. I'm your host, Delaney Howell. This month, we're bringing two industry guests on to talk about a very important topic to the swine industry. Kate Dion, a postdoctorate research assistant at Iowa State University and familiar voice to the podcast, Dr. Daryl Holtkamp, who is a professor in veterinarian preventative medicine with a focus on biosecurity at Iowa State. Throughout this episode, both Kate and Daryl will be taking a deep dive into the standardized outbreak investigation program they developed and launched in 2023, including how it will be used, why it was necessary to develop at the time, the timelines for adapting this new program, and so much more. Before we dive too much further into this episode, let's get to know our guests a little bit better, beginning with Kate.
I came back to Iowa State to focus on researching biosecurity for actually the growing pig herd. And so really what I'm hoping to achieve there is try to understand why herds that start off negative for some of our economically devastating pathogens like PRRS and coronaviruses actually become positive. Really, you know, hope that through that work, I can help our industry, you know, move forward, and hopefully through that would also help the south side of the industry as well.
And Daryl, a little bit more about your background and how you found yourself specifically focusing in the biosecurity space.
It probably goes back 2004, and we were doing some work at that time on a program that some of the older producers or veterinarians might remember. It was called PADRAP, and it was fundamentally just a survey to look at risk factors for, you know, introduction of pathogens. So worked with that for several years. It was a long and admittedly rather tedious survey to complete, but it did get adopted fairly widely and people used it, seemed to like it. My frustration with it was that at the end of it, you know, the questions I was always getting were, so what do we need to do, right? What do we need to focus our attention, our resources on? And I never felt like we could answer that very well with that survey. And so over time, I kind of thought about a better way to do that. And that led me to the thinking about outbreak investigations and those as opportunities to learn. So if you think of those as a crisis, as most people would think of them as, they're opportunities then to learn about what went wrong, right? And how to improve then things in the future, hopefully. And so it kind of, you know, it came down to being able to identify the biggest problems, and then you can figure out what to do with it. And I think as an industry, when it comes to biosecurity, we kind of want to jump right into the practices or the control measures. You know, do we need to put a bench in? Do we need to wash more trucks? Those kind of things. We want to jump right to that. And it's kind of skipping the first step, right? And that is okay, where do we need to devote resources first? And so I started doing that and started trying to develop that idea, kind of came to HACCP during that process and realized that there were some concepts that could be adopted from HACCP to look at biosecurity and try to identify those what it ended up calling biosecurity hazards. And so HACCP, if you're not familiar, is a program from the food industry to identify hazards in food. And so it was originally developed in the 1960s. The actual intent was to do that for astronauts that were going into space. And so NASA was behind early efforts there. And so it was really designed then to prevent bringing foodborne illnesses into space. And so, you know, the more I looked at that, the more I studied HACCP, I realized that we could adapt some of those concepts for looking at biosecurity and, again, trying to identify and then assess and prioritize biosecurity hazards. And so that's what kind of led me down that path. And then I had that developed with some funding from the Iowa pork producers. And then 2013, when PED virus was introduced in the U.S., had an opportunity to use what I developed there initially for PRRS with the funding from Iowa pork producers, and did several outbreak investigations of PED virus, and felt after that we were on the right track. And then, of course, when SCHIC was originally funded in the aftermath of PED virus, Paul Sundberg there contacted me about potentially adapting what we had done for PRRS virus to put together a program then that would be used. The original idea was that we could use that then if we had another PED virus. So if another transboundary disease was introduced into the U.S., we would be ready to go. We'd be prepared to go out and do outbreak investigations, you know, using the concepts we had developed. And so that's kind of where it went. And I guess I'll stop at that point in the history. There's a little bit more of the story there to get to where we are today with the web-based application that we'll talk about in a little bit here. But that's kind of the older history, Delaney, if you will.
So as a whole, then, Daryl, through your past research and partnerships, as an industry, do you think we are making progress on biosecurity? And what are the stakes if we continue to fail at making this progress?
That's one of my favorite questions to ask an audience. Are we making progress? And I'm always interested by the diversity of answers. And some people will think in terms of, again, the practices. And they say, well, yes, we've added showers, we've put in benches and entryways, we've added truck washes. And so they respond, yes, we've made progress. And then others, I think, would look at it more the way I would. And I think we should look at it. And that is okay, well, but are we making progress in the intended outcomes of biosecurity? So if we add all those things, what do we hope will happen, right? Well, what we hope is going to happen is we have fewer outbreaks in sow farms or fewer incidences of introductions of virus in groups of growing pigs, free of that virus at placement. And when you look at those things, I think arguably we're not making progress there. In fact, we probably are going backwards over the last 10 or 15 years. And so I think by any measure, any data that we have available, like the Swine Health Monitoring Project at Minnesota, the Swine Disease Reporting System here at Iowa State, if you look at any of those, you would probably have to argue that no, we're not really making any progress here. And just recently, or what Kate's working on with her dissertation is a project where she enrolled 72 groups of pigs and only two of those stayed negative for PRRS. So with that data, it's hard to say, well, yeah, you know, we made progress. There's only one way to go there, right? We can't get any much worse than that. So yeah, Delaney, I think my answer to that question, the short answer is no, I don't believe we are making progress. And I think that suggests that we do have to take another look at maybe a different approach to addressing biosecurity.
So how did that kind of mindset or discussion lead into then the partnership with SCHIC?
Basically, I think during the PD outbreak, and that would be, you know, throughout 2013, even going into 2014, there was a lot of finger pointing, and everybody would sort of point their finger at somebody else and say, you know, you ought to be doing more outbreak investigations so we can figure out how this virus is moving around and hopefully slow the spread. And, you know, early on in that, there were a lot of veterinarians that still thought that we could get ahead of it and potentially eradicate it before it became endemic as it has become. You know, it was rather, I would say at times, kind of really heated finger pointing. And some of that was directed at me, as I recall. And, you know, the idea there was that we should be prepared to do that. And we really weren't. And I think Paul Sundberg, to his credit, recognized that. And he did then, when he took over as the director for SCHIC, contacted me at that point and said, hey, is there a possibility of creating a program where we could be ready to respond more readily? And just as a reminder, Paul was at National Pork Board at that time, and they did fund several of these outbreak investigations. I had an opportunity to do one of those, and it happened to be the last one that they funded out of, I believe it was 7 or 8. And so I also had an opportunity to summarize all of those. And what I quickly realized is it was all over the board, didn't have sort of a consistent or a systematic way of doing it. Everybody kind of took their own approach. None of them I would have called comprehensive in that, you know, they covered sort of all the potential biosecurity hazards that might have been in place when those outbreaks occurred. And so that really was a wake-up call for me that we need to have a way to do this that's at least a little bit more standardized and a little bit more systematic and certainly comprehensive than what we were doing at that time. And so that's kind of how SCHIC got involved with that, Delaney, and then it went from there.
Great. So that project started back in 2021. What was the goal in creating this standardized outbreak investigation program?
You know, the goal, I guess, was, again, to have a systematic way to do this. And veterinarians, I think, would recognize this maybe more than producers, but in vet school, we're taught a method. It's called SOAP notes. It's an acronym. It stands for Subjective, Objective, Assessment, and Plan. And so the idea there is that it's kind of first things first, right? And this was a standard approach that we were taught to deal with cases, diagnose, and then come up with a treatment plan. You know, I think every veterinarian would tell you that they're grateful for that, right? That they have a kind of a standardized approach of doing that. And it really doesn't let you skip the first step, which is to identify the problem first. Take the subjective information you have, any objective information you might have, and then try to figure out what the problem is or what the disease is in the case of a workup of an animal. And, you know, you take that same process and apply it to outbreak investigations, and arguably veterinarians haven't been using anywhere near as rigorous approach as a simple SOAP notes approach. And so the idea there was, if we could standardize this in a way that we sort of taught a systematic and comprehensive method that everybody kind of used the same, that it would improve our ability then to do that more effectively and not miss things that we may have missed in the past. And so that's really the primary reason I think I would give Delaney is just doing it, standardizing it allows us or helps us do it better. The other thing we can now do, though, we'll get to the web-based application in a minute here, though, is because we have a standardized approach to doing this, we're collecting a consistent set of information every time that we do an outbreak investigation. And much of that, or a good chunk of that, is in a closed-ended format. So we have specifically response to certain questions. We can start to database that now, right? And now we can start to learn from our collective experiences of doing outbreak investigations. And then hopefully start to answer questions like, you know, what are the most common biosecurity hazards we find? What biosecurity practices or control measures are being implemented? Which ones are not, right? So those types of questions, I think we can start to answer better than we certainly do today. We don't have any way to do that today.
How would you describe the standardized outbreak investigation program to a producer today? And the bigger question is, why standardize?
Okay, so the standardized outbreak investigation program really is a way to have a method to go about understanding the details surrounding an outbreak and why it may have occurred in a standardized approach. So that way, anyone is performing an outbreak investigation is taking a similar approach. So that way it can be comprehensive and done in the same manner. And so ultimately, regardless of who's performing the outbreak investigation, anytime you do one, you're going to end up with the same procedures and process to come up with that outcome of the ultimately ranking of what entry events were likely to have caused that pathogen to enter the herd, and then recommendations for the farm to improve their biosecurity.
And so when you look at improving biosecurity, how can it actually be used to do that?
The nice thing about the standardized outbreak investigation is it's really providing a platform for you to prioritize which hazards and entry events were related to the outbreak. So that way, anyone involved in the farm then can focus on which were the most likely events, prioritize those biosecurity processes that are needed to improve on that farm. Because, you know, ultimately, there are a lot of things that we can focus on may take time, money, and resources. So we want to make sure that we are addressing the most important aspects so that the farm and their staff can really put their time and effort towards the things that are actually most likely to be causing the outbreaks on their farms.
So Kate, I know you do a lot of time and energy have put into kind of how do you go about actually conducting effective outbreak investigations using the web-based tool. So before we dive into the specifics of how you go about doing that, can you describe a little bit more what the web-based tool is and how they can go about using it?
So the web-based tool really is taking the paper form that's been available on the SHIC website and putting it into an online platform that really allows you to, one, have some of your information in there ahead of time so you can be better prepared, but then two, really allows you to customize your form so that it is more specific to the events that occurred prior to the outbreak on the farm, as well as allowing you a place to just keep all the data and other information you collect for an individual outbreak and then any outbreaks collectively submitted as a farm or as a company, I mean, in one spot. And so, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, not only will producers be able to input their individual outbreak investigations, but we'll create a database of outbreaks across different producers and companies that may be utilized to then understand what's causing outbreaks on farms across the United States. So that way we can collectively learn from that information.
I'd add just a little bit to that too, Delaney, in that the ability to sort of have a place to store the information and then easily access it later for veterinarians or producers to do that. is a huge step forward. What I gather when, you know, historically, when veterinarians do outbreak investigations, they usually get stored like we store any, you know, Word document or any PDF. It's in a file somewhere, but there's not really a good way to easily go back and access that and identify, you know, when the outbreaks occurred and what we learned from that outbreak. And so that's, I think, is a big step forward, just having that all in one place, easily accessible and in a form that's, you know, user and password protected, right? So it's not going to be information that would be able to get out to others that don't have access to it through the web application. And I think, you know, that's important because as I've done these outbreak investigations and I've probably done upwards of 60 or 70s over the last several years here, what you find is that where the biosecurity hazards lie is in the production process. And so that's why when we go through these, you know, we start with entry of semen. We try to, again, be systematic. And so we always start in the same place. No reason to do that, but just that's the first place we go. And as you walk through that process, you learn a lot of things. And, you know, as these companies, especially the larger companies, have gotten bigger, they tend to have gotten more complicated organization charts. And so the decision-making oftentimes gets siloed off, right? And so the veterinarian, you know, may or may not know all the details about how livestock transport is scheduled, how it's done, you know, those types of things, as an example, or same with semen, you know, they may not know everything about that. And so a big part of that is trying to make sure that if they don't know that, then they can follow up and find that out and capture that information again in the outbreak investigation. And so that now becomes a form that they can, or a report now that they can go back to and look up that information later. So to me, it's, I think, is a way to make us more efficient, right? Or make us more, hopefully more effective at then learning over time, again, where we need to prioritize resources to improve biosecurity and, you know, what control measures we need to be thinking about, both in the short term, the medium term and long term down the road. What do we need to be thinking in terms of if we build a new building, what do we need to focus on or build a new farm, for example? So I think that's, you know, for me, it's a huge step forward just to do our jobs better, right? To be more productive and learn faster from bad things that happen, right? Like outbreaks.
So Daryl, you mentioned something there. I just want to clarify, is this tool really designed for veterinarians to use or producers or both?
Yeah, that's a good question, Delaney. I think the training that most veterinarians get during their school and their career makes them good candidates to do these, but certainly not restricted to that. Producers, I know a lot of producers who have a very good handle on what constitutes or what's a hazard, right? There, as we start to talk through the production processes, you can see the lights going on, right? And so they fully understand, you know, if they're doing it this way, what that means in terms of, for example, that might increase the likelihood that, let's say, a person or a vehicle might get contaminated because of the way they're doing that, right? And so as you talk through that process, again, you can just see the light bulbs flicking on in their minds. And so, you know, I feel very comfortable that they would be able to use that and use the outbreak investigation program and do a very good job at identifying those biosecurity hazards. So yeah, the short answer to your question, Delaney, is it's open to anyone.
So Kate, diving back into some of the specific ways to go about using this tool to conduct effective outbreaks, what are those steps involved and what information do you need to have readily available or be able to collect?
If you're wanting to use the actual web-based program, the first thing I would say is you can go ahead and get signed up to use the program ahead of time, which is helpful because then you can be more familiar with the program and better prepared. So in order to do so, you can just contact us. So that email would be soip@iastate.edu, and we can set you up with your username and password. And then at that point, once you have access to the program, you can set up other users within your company and add farms. And so at the point that you have an outbreak and you've decided you're going to do an outbreak investigation, you know, the first thing really is to set up the specifics, right? Where are we going to do this? When are we going to do it? Who are we going to have there? And generally, I would say, you know, the best approach to doing that is have it at the actual farm. And for people to be involved in the actual investigation, I would have farm manager and generally then their boss as well. And another person that might be helpful to have there as well is the herd veterinarian. And so that's probably who I would say kind of the minimum people to involve in the outbreak investigation is, but you may find you need to pull in other people depending upon who has access and knows the answers to the various questions in the investigation. But you know, once you've got your date set, what you want to try and go ahead and do is collect the information that we call information for the pre-investigation form. And so really, the majority of the information in that section is really about dates of when entry events occurred. So what days did supply entry occur in the weeks leading up to the outbreak? When did semen arrival occur? When did weaned pigs go out? So there's a variety of those type of questions. And the period of time that you're looking back prior to the outbreak is really pathogen specific. And the web-based program will actually give you some recommendations on what those links are, depending upon which pathogen you're using the outbreak for. And so once you've got all of those dates collected, you can go ahead and put those into the program. Then if you would like, can actually print out a specific outbreak investigation form that focuses just on those entry events that you entered. And so then at that point, you're really ready to go out and do the outbreak investigation. And so I would say getting that pre-investigation done ahead of time is important, because then that will allow you to focus on the details surrounding those entry events during the investigation and not trying to figure out when do those events occur while you're focused on that. And then at that point, when you're doing the outbreak investigation, like I said, prefer to be on farm, because really what you would like to do is go out and actually see where these events are occurring, because that may provide important details as to how those processes occurred. So, you know, going out and actually looking at the chute and talking about how did we load or unload pigs, or looking at in the office at people entry, what are the things there that are in place or not in place to prevent people from bringing a pathogen into a herd? And so all of those various entry events, you would try to see how those processes occur on farm, but then really the actual investigation is going to dive into the details of how do these things occur. And so the form actually provides you a lot of questions. Some of them are open-ended and some of them are closed-ended. And really what you're trying to do is ask open-ended questions and understand how things happen on the farm, because you really want your farm manager to be giving you the details of how these processes occurred and what were the details surrounding the specific events just prior to the investigation. And so then at that point, once you've collected that information, you can go ahead and put it back into the form. But what I would say too is you may find going through and doing the interview on farm that you may need to go talk to some other people, maybe like logistics, to find out specifics about transportation, or maybe that even drives you to say, hey, I would like to go look at the truck wash, better understanding of some of the details that occurred there, because some of the potential for contamination of those carrying agents into the farm actually occur prior and outside of the farm. So it's important that we understand those aspects too. So you may find, like I said, that you actually need to go look or talk to other people about them.
And Kate, could we dig a little bit further into what those specific reports and pieces are that we can get by using the web-based application?
So I think this is one of the really nice features by moving into a web-based program for the outbreak investigations is the actual reports that you can get once you've completed your actual outbreak investigation and entered the results in. And so the first really is just a detailed summary report that's going to give you, you know, the details on every question that you've inputted data in. And one of the nice features of that is for many of the questions, we've put what I would call a flag in there that if one of the answers for that question could be considered a potential biosecurity hazard, it will actually flag that answer. And so it's a nice way to indicate that that may be something you should consider when you're doing your rankings for each entry event for that pathogen likelihood to cause the outbreak. So that, you know, is a nice key feature that you wouldn't have prior if you were just using the paper form. And then the second really is the executive summary. And we've kept that to be a nice short report, so that way it really emphasizes the things that you should focus on as a result of that outbreak investigation. So it's going to show you which entry events were rated as a high likelihood for pathogen entry. And so the user has to do that as they complete each section. And we teach people to think about the three failures that would cause a pathogen introduction to a farm. And so the first for that would really be, was there a failure to prevent viral contamination or infection of a carrying agent into the farm? And then if that occurs, then secondly, the second failure would be to failure to mitigate that contamination or infection of the carrying agent. And then the third really that has to happen after that is it has to get to the pigs, right? And so you have to think about these entry events in those concepts, right? And the more likely that 1, 2, and 3 occurred, the higher likelihood that that pathogen entered the farm. And so as people then rank those, they already in the form to provide their observations and rationale for why that occurred. And then really just a free space if people want to provide recommendations or anything related to that entry event. And so then those ultimately end up on that summary report, which, like I said, it is a nice way to focus on the things that were most likely to cause that pathogen. And it, you know, is really customizable to that outbreak investigation. And so that would be the second report that is available. And again, both of those reports are going to pull in other relevant information, like the farm map, weather information is automatically going to pull in. So there's just a lot of information that prior you might have had to go out and seek out, like that weather information, that now is automated. And so that can make doing those investigations a little bit easier for the user.
As far as where this program is at in its process to be finalized, what's the timeline here? And are you expecting this to have adoption across the entire industry or a portion of the industry?
Yeah, so we officially launched the web application back in December, Delaney, of 2023. So it's been out going on 4 months here. And we've kind of taken a slow approach to that in rolling it out, making sure that, you know, if we find any sort of glitches in the program, we're getting those taken care of now here. You know, we're getting through the primary PRRS and PD season this year, although it's knock on wood, it's not too late for a spike in outbreaks to occur, but it's been a relatively quiet year so far. And so over the summer, though, I would say in preparation for next fall, we'll be more actively, I think, getting the word out. We had quite a few veterinarians that were involved in the original beta test, and many of those, we're going to reach out to those veterinarians and get them signed up on the live version here as well. And so we'll put a big push on, I think, between now and the PRRS and PED season coming up next fall and winter here. And Delaney, I do expect that, as you know, it'll probably follow a typical adoption curve where you get some early adopters using it. And then we hope that word will spread, that they find value in it. And then we'll get hopefully the majority of the industry then will get signed up and then be prepared to use it. So I'm optimistic. I think the program turned out really well. I've been involved in a lot of development projects of web applications. That's not easy to do. It's really lots of moving parts. And so we've really attempted to try to keep it as simple as possible. And I think it's turned out very well. We're fortunate we had a really good programmer that we had was able to get hired to work on this and some other projects. And so I think I feel pretty good about it. I think it's going to be fairly user-friendly. We will develop some training on that with help from SCHIC and the company they've contracted with here. And so I'm optimistic, Delaney, that then within a couple of years here, we'll have a pretty good adoption, pretty widespread adoption within the U.S. industry. And then we've also received some inquiries from other countries as well. We've kind of pushed back on those or held those off yet initially here until we get things sort of sorted out, make sure everything's working the way it's supposed to work. And then perhaps we'll move into the international realm after that.
Thank you again to Kate and Daryl for taking the time to share their research, development, and advice on this subject. We are looking forward to the full implementation of the Standardized Outbreak Investigation Program and can't wait to see the success this has ahead for the swine industry. To view the tool for yourself, head to swinehealth.org and take a look there on SCHIC's website for the full Standardized Outbreak tool. Thank you all for tuning in to the PigX podcast. Be sure to hit subscribe so you're notified when the next month's episode is released here in June. Until then, I'm your host, Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org, or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic@iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.